Well, welcome back to another episode of the Make Disciples podcast. My name is Dan Rober, and joining me in our podcast studio today is Darwin Box. Darwin, good to have you here with us.
Hey, it's great. It's good to be here.
Yeah, good to have you here. And as you know, we are telling stories this season. We're introducing the senior staff here at Wildwood and talking about how we all have stories, stories of what brought us to faith, stories of what brought us to ministry. And we want you to know the people who are working hard to lead and guide and develop people in this church. So Darwin's going to share his story today. But let's start first. Darwin, okay. Here at Wildwood, what is your title and how long have you been here?
My title is care pastor. So that gives me the privilege of shepherding a bit our congregation. And we have a team of people that do that. And so it's a great joy to work with them by visiting, praying, helping in any way we can. People who have needs and are, be they sick, be they in a hospital or some other facility, we follow up and visit them and just show them the love of Christ.
Yeah.
That's what we do. And wow, that's hugely, I can't believe I have the privilege of doing that, being a part of that, part of the prayer team that's here every Monday morning. Those people are amazing as they pray for all the people of this church, and it's exciting. I've been here now. This is my second time here.
Yeah,
called originally in 1997 to the work here at Wildwood as the only other pastor besides Bob Evans. So we worked together for a number of years. I left the Lord called me out. Nothing wrong with Wildwood. I loved it then, love it now. But God called me out to the world a bit because it just gave me a heart to talk to people who were not crossing the threshold of the doors of this church. And I thought, they're not hearing the gospel. They're not here. Who's talking to them? And would it be a privilege to share the gospel with these people? For 17 years, I worked with Big Bend Hospice as a chaplain in the 8-county area around here, Tallahassee and the other cities around here. And wow, what a joy that was to talk with patients who were in the process of dying and helping the families and sharing faith, the faith of Jesus, the hope of eternal life with them. But God called me back. I retired at 17 years with them at that point in time, like 3 weeks later. I was talking to Bob Evans again, and Bob, leaving, asked me to come back to Wildwood and begin to continue to work here. So I've done that, and it's been a great joy.
Wonderful. And it seems like working for 17 years for a hospice ministry would be great training and development to do what you're doing here.
It is. It is. During that time, I did pastor, was the stated supply for sometimes several years of our other PCA churches in this area, and had the privilege of preaching at other churches and meeting those congregations and trying to give care to them during that time. And so, yes, it was a huge opportunity to learn because we don't just naturally know what to do, and I didn't certainly, and I got thrown into that. The Lord threw me into that, and I was totally not prepared for that kind of work. I felt, and after I did it a week or so on my own of visiting hospitals, nursing homes, and people wherever they're at in their last stages of life, and in fact dying, is in my presence and helping the grieving families. I was driving back to Tallahassee after a week of that and said, Lord, I can't do this. I know you gave me this job, and I know you're a sovereign king of the universe, but I think you've made a mistake, and I'm very serious in this. I said that to the Lord, and I said, thank you for the opportunity, but I can't do this. Mm-hmm. And it's too much, the grief, this hurts. And the Lord said to me very clearly, I know, Darwin, I know, and I haven't called you to do the work. I will do the work. Here's the call. You follow me and watch me do that work in the lives of these individuals and patients, yeah. And you get to see what I do, and then you can help these families. And so, wow, hearing that, it was, you wouldn't have heard the voice, but God clearly spoke to me. Mm. Then for 17 years, I watched God work.
Yeah. So that's a little bit of your work here, but let's talk about your faith story a little bit. How did you come to faith?
I came to faith, Linda, and my wife Linda and I, she ought to really be here to tell her part of it, but because God used her instrumentally in my life, neither one of us were believers in Christ in our early 20s. Occasionally went to church, but did not own a personal faith in Christ. No real hope, no real assurance, no real knowledge of Jesus, of what his work was. And so it was through Linda's father, who was 55 years old, who had come to faith in Christ, 55 years old, came to faith in Christ. Linda, talking to her dad after he'd come to faith at some point, shared the story of how a Christian needs to be somebody who forgives people for what they do. And it changes people. She never heard her dad say something like that. That was, and through this process, she came to faith. And we lived in Columbus, Georgia, just outside the gates of Fort Benning, and through the military ministry of the Navigators, she was contacted by some women who asked her to be a part of a Bible study, a Navigator Bible study. And she did. She asked me, is that okay? I said, yeah, you know, it sounds a little weird. I never heard of the word Navigators, but, you know, I think it'll be safe. Go and check it out. She checked it out, and this, I began to notice, I didn't know if it had anything to do with the Bible study or not, but I began to notice that as I would come home in the evenings after working all day, that she still had this, she began to develop this gentle and quiet spirit. Mm-hmm. As 1 Peter chapter 3 talks about. And I didn't know where that was coming from. I didn't know why, but it just hit me. Something's different here. She is different after a number of years of marriage, and I liked it. Mm-hmm. And so one day she said to me, Dar, the ladies in this Bible study would like to start a men's Bible study, and so would you like to be in that? And I said, yes, I think I do. I want to know more about this. And she said, good, because I told them they could probably meet here at the house.
Yeah. Wow.
So I said, okay, great. So I said, kind of bring it on. So one Saturday morning, the first time we met at a Bible, didn't know anything really about it, where books of the Bible were, didn't use it, and had one, and it was a Bible study. So never done that before. So the guys met with me, and we went over several passages in Scripture, and as we ended that day, we went over some passages in 1 John chapter 3. And if I may, I'd just like to read a couple of verses. It's talking about Jesus Christ and God's testimony about him. This is the testimony God has given us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. And then this verse, chapter 5, verse 13, I write these things to you who believe on the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life.
Yeah.
I read those words, Dan, and I about jumped out of my seat. Because one of my thoughts at that point in life was that you know, all this was interesting. I liked it, but I didn't know whether you could know. I didn't think a person could know they were a Christian or not. They just sort of, you know, kind of leaned one way or another. And so that knowing this word that God wants us to know whether we're believers or not hit me personally. And it followed up with some verses about, here's the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And it goes on. I didn't say anything to the guys in that Bible study. I read those words, and in looking back now, I realize it was the power of the Holy Spirit working in me, opening my eyes to words on a page. And I couldn't wait till the guys, we concluded, did whatever, prayed, and they left the house because I wanted to be alone with God all of a sudden, like never before. And so as soon as they left, I went out on the back steps of my house there in Columbus, Georgia, overlooking a highway called Floyd Highway. It's still there if you want to go look at it sometime. I sat on the steps and I began to pray, and it was the basic sinner's prayer. And I began, and as I realized I was actually talking to God, and that God exists, and that he was hearing my words, and I wanted forgiveness of my sins.
Yeah.
And the freedom from bondage from my life, my past, my present life, and I wanted a hope for the future. And I told the Lord I believe that Jesus Christ has died for me on the cross for my sins and risen to give me life, his life, my life now. And it's called not only an abundant life, but an eternal life. I wanted that.
Yeah.
And please forgive me. And you know, the Lord did hear my prayer. And you know, I'm a regular human being with a life like everyone else. We have ups and downs, we have problems, difficulties in our lives. But I don't think, Dan, you're going to meet anybody who's more joyous about what God has done in my life than me.
Yeah.
Because I know he has worked a work, and that he has me and loves me.
Yeah. And you mentioned 1 Timothy 3, your wife Linda.
1 Peter 3, rather.
Your wife Linda is an embodiment of it. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. When they see your respectful and pure conduct, you saw that change.
I saw that actually in the flesh that happened. I was not aware of that verse. I was not really aware at that time of that book, part of the Bible. But I saw her life, and it affected me. So I wanted to know what they were teaching in her study. She didn't tell me she had become a believer. She was wise enough not to tell me, Dar, I've come to faith in Christ. I'm beginning to read this Bible and pray, and I've got friends, and I'm seeing God work in my life. She didn't tell me, and you ought to read the Bible too. She didn't say that at all. I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
But I knew I wanted a life. I wanted to know what was going on, what not, to give her such peace, and I wanted that too, actually. Yeah. So
that's your story of faith. But let's talk just briefly about ministry. What called you into ministry?
It was early on in my life, Linda and I both worked with the Navigators as in volunteer capacity, and we learned and grew, and they trained us in discipleship, evangelism, and all the areas of a Christian life. And so I had a passion to share the good news with people, and I wanted to do so. We would go out on weekends and share the gospel with people at Fort Benning. And then before I knew it, I was just a few lessons ahead in our Bible study, and I was asked, go out and lead a group of officers and their wives in a Bible study like this at Fort Benning. And they said, Dar, we want you to do that. And that was as far from my thinking as could be, you know. And so I prayed and I asked the Lord, well, give me the words. And so I did. And so we began to do that, see God work in amazing ways in the lives of people, seeing people come to faith in Christ. And so I had this passion. And early on, Linda said, you know, Dar, I didn't marry a pastor. I didn't. I really don't have a desire to be a pastor's wife, in one way or another. And so for a number of years, I thought about it, prayed about it. But God was just generous to both of us, provided jobs for us. And I was working with AT&T for a number of years. We got to work with the Navigators, Campus Crusade, and a number of opportunities through the years, and fund that out of the provision of God's employment to us. And so we were doing that. But what happened was there was a point in our lives that we'd gone through some really difficult years there in Atlanta. And so we decided we wanted to go on a mission trip. The Lord spoke into our lives about that. We both wanted to do that. Perimeter Church in Atlanta. So we signed up to go on a mission trip with Campus Crusade.
Yeah.
And it was called Campus Crusade at that time, now Crew. And it was to Prague, Czechoslovakia. Mm. Prague and Czechoslovakia at that time was behind a very real Iron Curtain. Yeah. It was a communist country, and you could be thrown in jail for sharing the gospel. Crew thought, it's time to try to send a group of people into Czechoslovakia. We were the very first group to go into Czechoslovakia while they were still a communist country.
Wow.
And try to share the gospel. So we worked once a week. We met at Perimeter, and people with Crew and other organizations worked with us, help us learn basic things about the language, their culture, their history, taught us how we were going to be able to interact with people. We would go on weekends down to parks in Atlanta and share our faith with people down there during the day like we would expect to do in Czechoslovakia. So we did that. We did that for 6 months. And then we packed our luggage with Bibles in Czech, pamphlets like Four Spiritual Laws and things like that in Czech, and smuggled in Bibles, which was against the law, and went as American tourists, which they had just started to allow in there. But we had one purpose, and that was to talk to whoever God would lead us. We didn't have connections there. Hmm. All we had, we were told, yes, what you're about to do is completely illegal. If you're found out, if somebody turns you in, you're going to be jailed. Hmm. And so they gave us all we had was one phone number a phone number I believed was to somebody in Austria, but we didn't know. And so we just had that memorized, and we went in, and it was an exciting trip because instead of if you land in Hawaii, I believe they'll maybe put a lei around your neck and say, "Welcome to Hawaii," and it's all great. Well, there we saw people with machine guns greeting us,
man,
at the airport, and the fellow who was in front of me as we checked in, his suitcase was completely emptied and thrown into the floor as they were looking for contraband or anything that he might have. I was next. And they said, "Next, put your luggage up here." I had everything that was illegal in there. And the soldier who was doing that asked for my passport. I handed it to him. He looked at it, looked at me. And hit my suitcase. It's in check, out of here, go. And I went.
Mm-hmm.
And we got through. And that was true for Linda and our small group of people. And we began to then, we checked into a hotel, began to meet just people at random on the street, wherever we could go, everywhere. We fanned out every day, all day, every day, going wherever we could go, meeting people. And we, Linda and I personally, met people from 17 different countries.
Oh, wow.
That we were able to share the gospel with there in Prague during a 2-week period of time. And so we were there day in and day out, meeting with people. I met one other pastor who'd gotten back out of hard labor prison for sharing the gospel. I met him and was able to find another underground church there and actually go into. They were physically in the basement of a building and try to encourage some of those people. But we saw a number of people come to faith.
Mm.
People, we got to share the gospel with, of course, Russians, who I remember standing there on the on a bridge and talking to a group of Russians. They asked me, what was I doing? I said, "I'm a tourist and looking around here." And so we started a conversation, and that's what we do with everybody we met. And I said, "I'd like to tell you about somebody that's changed my life, Jesus Christ." They said, "What is a Jesus Christ? What are you talking about?" And I was able to share the gospel with a whole group of them. Share the gospel with Czechoslovakians and see them come to faith, and then kind of hang out with them, give them Bibles, first Bibles they'd ever had, show them where they could begin to read. And it was just, before we left, at the end of that 2 weeks, Linda and I were standing in the hotel looking out over the city. And Linda said to me, "Dar, If it weren't for two people back in the United States," and by that she meant our daughters, she said, "I would like to just stay right here and keep doing what we're doing now."
Oh wow!
I don't want to go back. I want to tell these people about Christ. And I said, "Yeah, me too."
Mm.
And so we came back. We both had jobs. We went back. Our lives were changed. And we began to pray. We committed to praying every day. How would God use us beyond what we were doing then if we completely gave ourselves over to the Lord and followed him in a way that he would clearly show us, not of our own making, our own doing, but that he would show us. And you know, God did. After 2 years, we'd gone to Pensacola Theological Institute one summer, and heard some people like J.I. Packer, Richard Pratt, many others preached there in that training institute, and it was great. And so after one of the events, Richard Pratt, who is a professor at Reformed Theological Seminary, and I talked. In fact, we went away and went spent a couple hours together just sharing our lives. And Richard said, we're starting a new work in Orlando. Mm. And, Dar, I'd like for you, I believe it's God's will for you to come down there and go to school and be trained as a seminarian and then send you back out there. If God's got a plan. So I said, well, okay, we'll begin to pray about that. And so we did. We prayed about it. Well, for the first and last time in the history of AT&T, they developed a plan to send people to managers to graduate school. If you didn't have a master's, you could go back for a master's, and the company would pay for it. Mm. Pay for a large chunk of it. And so we began to pray about that. And I thought, well, the school I want to go to is RTS now, I know. It's a seminary. And would the telephone company send me to a seminary? I don't think so. Well, I had friends that I shared that story with a bit, and that I was encouraged by the leadership over me and the chain of command. They said, Dar, fill out that form, apply for it. And I did. I just filled it out and I sent it off. A few weeks later, I got this notification from one of our vice presidents at AT&T. Dar, you're going to school and we're going to pay for it.
Wow.
And to my knowledge, I'm the only one that has ever been sent to seminary by AT&T. Now, what they told me was they'd like for me to come back and maybe work in the HR department there and continue to help them. And they foresaw that I would come back to AT&T. I said, you know, I have this feeling if I go to seminary, if I go to get this graduate training, that I will very likely not come back. In fact, it seems to me that God's calling me somewhere else. They said, you go. We got it covered. We want you to go. And we believe you'll probably come back here. If you don't, it's okay. Hmm. So I went. We went. Linda and I got our affairs. We began to pray, got our affairs in order, and physically left Atlanta and went to Orlando, and then for 3.5 years I was trained in theology, and first course was Kamikaze Greek, and that was exciting for somebody at my at that time in my at my age. It truly was Greek to me, so. But it was an exciting adventure, and I got to the great privilege of being able to spend time with some amazing scholars and learn and grow. I did not know what I was going to do after that. I believed that I would probably go to the mission field, and the professor who was over the missions department met with me and said, Dar, what I'd like you to do is just go to the classes, absorb as much as you can, and see what God would have for you.
Yeah.
And do that. And I did. So I went every class I enjoyed, no matter how hard they were. And in fact, Linda would come at night, and for some night classes, we would do that together. It was an amazing time. Our household was the household. We were able to afford ESPN, and we're the only one of the seminarians that could do that. And so just about every night, any event on ESPN, everybody was over at our house. Linda was fixing a meal for all kinds of guys and gals, and it was an amazing time. After that, I had a number of opportunities. And then And then God's call on my life. We called us to Washington, D.C., to Ruston, Virginia, for a church there. Then the Presbytery down in Central Florida asked us to go down there and plant a church in the Tampa area, which we did. And then Bob Evans came and asked me to come up here. So this is kind of the story of my, you know, ministry in the Presbyterian church.
So you didn't go back to AT&T?
I did not.
Okay.
I went back to to tell them a goodbye, and they were all excited for me. It was just obviously God's hand in our lives, and anybody would see it, believer or not.
Yeah.
And so God has been so gracious. I'm so thankful, and because we've continued to be able to see Him work in people's lives,
yeah,
and to be some small part of it together as a team, both Linda and I.
Yeah. And I should note, this podcast is not sponsored by AT&T, but yeah. AT&T, if you'd like to contact us, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Well, Darwin, thank you so much for sharing your story. It's so encouraging to hear how God moved and worked in your life, and we are so thankful
that
you're
working,
here.
I might say, Dan, as you know that very well, God doesn't start something that He doesn't finish, and so we know we can... The work He has started in us, He will bring about to completion in that day.
Well, we love hearing stories, and we love hearing stories from members of our congregation as well. So if you have a story that you want to tell of how God has moved or healed or helped in your life, let us know. Go to wildwoodtlh.com/stories, and you'll have the opportunity to tell us your story there, and maybe we'll be able to use it to encourage our congregation as well. And I hope that you'll join us again for another episode of Make Disciples Podcast.
I got one question for you. What are those?